Yes, indeed. Our thanks to Tim Grunhard exiting the building. Who are we kidding? 5 minutes ago. Nobody gets out from Sunday Sound Off faster than Grunhard. Like, I literally think I'll still be sitting there talking about my final thought, and Grunhard's already gone. He is already jetted. He's already left skid marks. He's a very busy man, Tim Grunhard. We thank him for the time he has given us here today. Another man who is very kind to give us his time is our Major League Baseball insider. From one star to another, Jason Stark is with us here on our Sprint guest line. Jason, how are you, my friend?
Sprint, I'm good. I missed you, man. You've been dodging me for a couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, I've been busy with the day off here or there and then some travel and what have you. Travel day last week, so I do apologize. Yeah, I have not had a chance to chat with you. By the way, Jason Stark is brought to you by our friends at James B. Nutter. Ask the folks at Nutter about their special renovation loan. If you're looking to make your home truly the home of your dreams, you like where you are, but it's not the home of your dreams, do what I did. Call the folks at James B. Nutter. They've been helping people in KC for over 65 years. They help you save money, never charge you the junk fees. Unbelievably low rates right now. And, of course, great home value as well. You can use the equity in your home to add a room, get a new roof, kitchen. Maybe it's that great outdoor living space, whatever. Go to jbnutter.com or call 816-531-2345. Jason, are you giddy as we speed down towards the trade deadline?
That's the word that you would use to describe yourself, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I do. I love, because there's so much hope and so much possibilities. Let me ask you, I want to get your thoughts on some of the players' names that are out there. Just tell me what you think of these guys. Jaime Garcia is a one-year rental type player. What do you think Jaime Garcia gives a team if somebody's able to go out and get him?
You know, he would fit into that category of guys who, they don't win you the World Series. You know, they don't win you a playoff series. They just help you get there. They give you depth. They give you starts. But he's scary to me, right? He started out fine. He hasn't pitched real well the last month and a half. He's got an injury history. His team actually thinks of itself as being kind of in some sort of race. It would be a red flag to me if they were even really trying to trade him. But, I mean, if you're familiar with John Coppola's work, he would love to make about 18 trades a day next 2 weeks.
I get it, and I agree. But because of all the things you said, he should be cheap. And to me, what the Royals need most is a guy who they can kind of count on, who can count on, to just give them six innings. Because, you know, Hamill is a five-inning-only guy. And, you know, they're in a tough stretch right now because Vargas blew up last night. And that's going to happen. No ill will towards Vargas. It happens. But now they come right back with Travis Wood. Don't think you're going to get any length there after, again, you just used six-plus innings of bullpen last night. Wood's not going to go deep into the game. Hamill certainly looks like a five-inning pitcher. And why? Ned Yost is the only guy that doesn't seem to have been able to figure that out yet. They need somebody who they can at least count on to give them six innings. Can Garcia be a guy who can at least give you the innings? And I get the health question mark. Assuming there's no health question, can he at least get you six innings?
If you're looking for dependability, I don't think that's what he gives you. Like, I mean, he could, if you look at his recent performance, yeah, he stays out there, but you know, a lot comes along with the six and a third, seven, wherever he goes. And so, what that means is five runs, six runs. I mean, it's not quality. It's just innings. So how much do you want that? Here's the way I look at the market in general, Saran, from talking to people who are navigating their way through this. The rent-a-player market is going to be glutted, flooded, way overstocked. And if you're willing to trade for rentals, there's going to be value. And I mean, my sense of this is teams in that market, both buyers and sellers, are playing the waiting game. I think in the end it's going to be a buyer's market in terms of just that group. So I think you'll see some surprising names pop out there at the end as teams make that tough call and say, we're not a contender, we're selling. I mean, you Darvish could pop out there for all I know. And most of these rentals are not going to require a big payout to get them. So patience is going to be huge in that market, and that probably is where the Royals are going to shop.
Yeah, hearing it's a buyer's market is certainly good news for Royals fans. I want to hit a couple other names, just your thoughts on the guys. How about Lance Lynn? He's another rental. He's a free agent after this year. What are your thoughts on what Lance Lynn is?
Way better stuff, way more quality. Again, the Cardinals don't know yet whether they're in or out or something in between. But of the guys who are likely to pop out there as starting pitching rentals, I'd put Darvish 1 and Lance Lynn 2 right this minute if he winds up being available.
And that says that he is a rental. And I think Lynn's a guy that could even, now his FIP, his fielding independent pitching number, isn't good. Although his
strikeout rate's down from what we remember.
But his whip is good. The ERA looks okay, but the FIP says, he's actually not pitching that good. But the whip says, no, yes, he is. So I think he's kind of an intriguing guy. I like the FIP and the whip a lot. Fielding independent pitching and walks plus hits divided by innings pitched for the casual baseball fan out there. I think those are better indicators of how a guy's pitching than his ERA. And what's amazing is the whip's really good, the FIP's really bad, and the ERA's right in the middle with Lance Lynn. So I'm not sure, coming back from the surgery, what exactly he is at this point. But
right. Now, if you look at what Washington did the other day, right, and they examined the bullpen market, and what did they find? They didn't find the kind of quality that was out there last year. So what did they go for? They traded for guys who have been there, done that. And it's a whole different situation. But I think this trade market to me features a lot of that. The quality isn't great, but so if that's the case, then what's the next best thing? It's let's find guys who at least have pitched big games or comfortable in the moment. Lance Lynn's been there, done it, that's for sure. And he's done it in Missouri.
Do you Sonny Gray, a lot of people are interested in him because there's multiple years. That's a price tag that's just going to be pretty steep, right? I can't see the Royals winning a bidding war. But if they did win a bidding war and they get Sonny Gray, what are they getting?
Well, he's pitched great the last few weeks. He's really starting to settle back into being that the guy he was before all the health issues last year. And he's a high-quality individual. There's 3 years of control after this season. He's as attractive as anybody out there. We know he is available. And he's going to get traded. Beyond that, I'd have a really hard time predicting which starting pitchers with control are going to get traded. The answer might be nobody.
What is the Royals' biggest need?
Pitching depth, starters and relievers, wouldn't you think?
I do. Far and away, a lot of people in this town say DH, but I actually think if you can't pitch, the offense is irrelevant. You'll be too far down no matter what kind of bat you got. So I think it's a starter one. They need a starter just to get them to the playoffs. And then I do think they need bullpen help, especially with Joaquin Soria starting to wobble. I think they need bullpen help as well. I think they need both a starting pitcher and a reliever. And if you said, okay, what's your wish list? I'd say starting pitcher, two relievers, and then one more bat somehow that allows them to really mix and match and platoon up the DH and the off days and stuff to give them a chance to better their lineup while giving guys a day off. But that's down at the bottom. I would say a starting pitcher they got to have. Unless Travis Wood is going to knock my socks off starting tonight. And he was throwing well for four innings his last time out and then kind of ran out of gas. I don't know how much more he's going to be able to go. But maybe that's the question. I mean, is Travis Wood better than what they can go out and get if they get him stretched out?
Well, he hasn't been a starter now for a prolonged stretch in like 3 years. And he did start some game for the Cubs a couple of years ago, but is he better than what they can get? I don't know if I can answer that now. He's a guy with a 6 ERA, Sorin. So I don't, like, how can you say that? He might turn out to be better than what they can get, but my guess is they're shooting higher than that. If you're setting the bar at Travis Wood, I think they can do better. That's my personal read.
All right. You mentioned the bullpen market. Let me back up. You mentioned the fact that it'll be a buyer's market out there for the rental player deal. Can the Royals afford to wait? Or having dropped now 6 of their last 7, is it critical that if they waited out, they might be able to just steal Lance Lynn or steal Garcia or steal Trevor Cahill down the road? But can they afford to wait for that bargain, or do they need to get something done now to keep themselves from falling out of the race?
They're 2.5 out in the wild card?
Yeah.
And it's this in a race that it's almost impossible to fall out of. you would think at some point some of these teams are going to go on a run. Just hasn't happened. I mean, the Yankees going the other way. The Twins are going the other way, and they have a minus 63 run differential. The Rays have played better than people think. They are better than people think. But I don't see that sense of urgency right now. The idea is for a team that doesn't want to give up more than it has to, I think the waiting game is going to be the way to go. You can get back to me in a week and maybe the alarm bells will be sounding. I think based on the way they've played the last 2 months compared to the way they've played for the last week and change, especially including a series in L.A. against the Dodgers before the break in that, I would hesitate to jump to the conclusion that they're in trouble in this race. I actually think they're going to wind up playing in the wild card game. That's what I think.
The Royals are?
Rays, Royals. Mark it down, and it's sure to be wrong.
Okay. Well, I had one of those teams in the wild card. Sad to say it's not the Royals that I had. That seemed
Who's
like
your other team?
I had the Rays I had Astros, Indians, probably did I have the Blue Jays or Red Sox? Did I have like Red Sox, Rays?
Wait, are you talking about your April prediction or your prediction like right now?
No, my preseason prediction.
Oh, okay.
My preseason prediction. No, right now I like Royals, Rays. But the Royals I still think is peppered with homerism. If they don't get a pitcher, if they don't get a starter, I don't know that they can get there. What did I have, Rob?
Preseason, the wild cards you had were the Rays and the Mariners.
Okay. And who did I have winning the East?
Winning the East, you had the Red Sox.
Okay. So I'm all right.
The Mariners could get there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got the three division leaders right, so I got that part. I don't think the Mariners will get there. Look, is Alex Gordon and Brandon Moss done? I mean, I think the Royals really have no option other than to stay the course and hope that they're not. But are we getting far enough in? I mean, you know, there have been a lot of numbers that, you know, Alex Gordon, since you go back to whenever he got kind of banged up last year, he has not been good ever since. And are we at the point now where we say that these guys are cooked and or choice but to stay the course with him? Is there reason to believe that, no, they will get things going here in the second half?
They've been terrible. we can agree on that. Brandon Moss is, less than a year removed from a really productive season on a good team. So I think both these guys still have a chance to find something, make some adjustment that gets them out of this. I know we're talking about 4 months, and they've been searching, and they haven't found it, and you can't count on it. That's the biggest problem. But I'm really hesitant to say 33-year-old guys are done when we've seen them be so much better than this.
I am too, but It does not look good. And Alex Gordon's always been a stubborn guy. I mean, it took a long time for him to make the adjustment to finally be productive at the big league level in the first place. So it means that probably every time he's got to make an adjustment, it's going to be painful, right?
Well, look, we've talked about him, and he gets himself out right now. And teams know exactly how to approach him, and he gets himself out, and he just keeps doing the same stuff over and over. At a certain point, you got old, and he's only willing to get out of it to a really limited extent.
It is troubling, to say the least. We're talking to Jason Stark, our Major League Baseball insider. Let's talk about some of the other things that are going on around baseball. Let's talk about Aaron Judge. Already, is it just, a self-fulfilling prophecy that, like, you have a big home run derby, and then because some guys have struggled, everyone jumps on it, and then you fulfill that prophecy by creating your own struggles? Like, I've already heard people going, well, it's already started. He's not hitting. And I heard that conversation. Do you think, or is he the guy that's bulletproof because he's just so big, so strong, so powerful, that literally was just a normal, longer batting practice session for him? Or no, is it something that just crushes guys, even guys who look superhuman like him?
Well, I've done a study of this a few years back, and here's what I found. There's no such thing as a home run derby curse when it comes to guys who are sluggers, who normally hit home runs. It's the non-home run hitters, the Bobby Abreus and the Garrett Andersons, who have been almost exclusively the victims of those funks. And that's, you could make a case, it's just a return to the norm. In Aaron Judge's case, it's such a small sample size. Like, he has a right to be tired after the derby and the game and the hoopla and the travel. But, I mean, if Jackie Bradley, are we even talking about this? And he's had a really crazy pressurized stretch. I am not going to say that this is a home run derby jinx, curse, funk. It's just people looking for explanations. It's what we do. I get it.
Are the Yankees cooked?
They're in trouble. But are they cooked? They're the Yankees. They're as motivated to make a deal, have the resources to make a deal, as any team out there in the next 2 weeks. So you can answer that question on August the 1st, and I might have a different answer. I think they're in trouble. I already said I don't think they're going to wind up playing in the wild card game. They're a year ahead of schedule. But cooked would not be my review right now. But they've gone from 15 over to 4 over.
But aren't they just like a team that was good and really a year away, that was overachieving, that's now coming back to earth and has lost Michael Pineda? I mean,
right.
I mean, like, I get it that in, Pete, but really, wouldn't the smartest thing, and maybe the New York market and the New York pressure will force them to do that, but reality, wouldn't their smartest move to be to leave any ammunition in the holster and just say, look, we made a run at it, but we're not going to waste resources on a race we can't win, even with some help?
Brian Cashman's very realistic. I mean, they're building a monster team. This was not supposed to be the year that the monster came out of the crypt. And so he'll be very careful about what he gives up and what he does. But he's so good at finding value in late July. I mean, look at his track record. And I expect him to do that again. Like, would you predict this team to go to the playoffs with a rotation of CeCe Sabathia, Jordan Montgomery, Luis Severino, Brian Mitchell, and Masahiro Tanaka with his 5.5 ERA? It's pretty hard, that prediction. But just stay tuned, man. There's some stuff out there that he could still do. And it certainly wouldn't shock me if he did it.
Okay. All right. That's, I think they should sit still and just recognize that.
He understands what they are and what they're not. This is not a go-for-it year for them. But it's not a give-up year either. So, I mean, if he puts a big pitching piece in place for next year, Sonny Gray, if he finds a value in a rental where he's just taking the contract. He's so good at one of the Yankees' areas of expertise. Don't rule anything out. They're the Yankees. They don't give up.
So what should the Twins do?
The Twins, I mean, based on what teams that have talked to them have told me, are just in a holding pattern right now. They've got a minus 63 run differential, and they're chasing the Indians, and they know what that means. They're run by really smart people. Everybody is waiting for the Indians to just get hot and take hold of the division and for the Twins to unravel, and neither has happened. So I don't think they underestimate what it means to their clubhouse and their fan base to contend, even if it's against all odds. So if that's where they are, they could sit tight. They could maybe do some buying and selling at the same time. But if the next week and a half lead them to a place where suddenly instead of being a game and a half out, they're 5.5 out, then we're looking at a whole different equation.
I know you mentioned the Braves, like trying to figure out what they are, but reality is, if your name's not the Nationals, Brewers, Cubs, Cardinals, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, or Rockies, you're cooked, correct? I give the Cardinals only pedigree chance of getting back into it. I really don't think the Cardinals are going to get back into it because I think the Cubs are going to get it going, and maybe the Brewers can hold them off because they've been spotted a 3.5 game lead. But I give the Cardinals championship pedigree the honor or the respect of being in that mix as well. But we're down to at best, 7 teams. Everybody else is a seller, right?
In the National League?
Yes.
I mean, the Pirates aren't there yet, but they're likely to sell. The Braves, I don't really know what to tell you about them. I mean, John Coppola would like to make 12 deals a day. And, I mean, he is listening on a lot of guys, it sounds like. But they would love to finish 500. They'd love to finish above 500. They'd love to say, we contended up until, pick the day, Labor Day, whatever it was. There's value in that for them. So I don't think they fit the, quote-unquote, seller mode. But I think they could do some selling. And the Mets aren't, for whatever reason, aren't totally there yet, but they're going to sell.
Yeah, they have to sell, for crying out loud. They're a train wreck this year. I mean, I don't know why it's so hard for people to get to that point.
Well, they're ready. They're willing to sell their rental players. But as I mentioned, it's going to be hard to move those guys. I mean, you can go get Curtis Granderson or Lucas Duda or Jay Bruce. Price is higher than it's going to wind up being.
We're talking to Jason Stark. He's our Major League Baseball insider, brought to you by James B. Nutter. You can call him today, 816-531-2345, online at jbnutter.com, helping Kansas City families since last 65 years, get the home of their dreams. Time for our Final Four, Jason, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Win a 17 truck of your choice during the Trucks and Bucks promotion. Go to kslottery.com for details. We'll give callers 8 and 10 some of those Trucks and Bucks tickets right now from the Kansas Lottery. Callers 8 and 10, 913-3810-810. Question number one, the amount of time you've spent taking in Big 12 media days the last couple of days. How much time?
Are we measuring this in seconds, fractions of seconds?
Easiest way for you to define.
0 seconds.
Zero seconds.
You disappointed in that?
Yeah, no, I'm not. It's okay. To be expected. It's to be expected. There's another one along that line here in a minute. Good or bad idea, the interview on the field during the All-Star game?
Are you talking about the Bryce Harper, George Springer interview or the A-Rod tour?
All of it.
I really enjoyed the Bryce Harper and the George Springer. The A-Rod tour of the infield was way more about A-Rod than it was about the people he was talking to, so that was a little overrated.
Okay, that was a bad one. Aaron Judge, career home run total is what? Not what is it now, what will it be when his career is over?
You have got to be kidding.
No, I'm asking.
25 years old. You're not kidding, are you?
There are people who called him the fourth greatest slugger of all time.
All right, so that would mean, let's see, 755, Ruth 714. So to be the fourth greatest slugger of all time, I have to go with 713, wouldn't I?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'll do that.
Really?
It's only the final four. You're not going to hold me to it.
Sure I am. We save all of them.
All right. Hold me to it.
All right.
Back to me in 20 years.
All right, 713. I don't know. I think it's probably half that. All right, and finally, the time you spent on the Vegas Summer Leagues, the NBA Summer Leagues.
All right, now that's different. I can't explain this, but I did watch. I live in a town where, they're way more interested in the summer league. They were way more interested in the summer league than any actual league.
Right.
Meaning, so I watched. I watched Markelle Fultz. So even though then he went down, I'm gonna say I spent an hour and 40 minutes watching the summer league. Various,
1 hour,
various games.
40 minutes.
What was the over under on that?
I actually put it at an hour as your over under, so you came in over. I figured with the hype around,
though. You know that.
Yeah, I know. I know your background. I know you like basketball, and I figured with Markelle Fultz, at least one of your number one overall picks or highly picked players that was playing, you probably took in a little bit. So I would have put it in an hour. So I'm impressed. Well done, Jason.
I even watched a little of the Utah Summer League. I'll admit to that too.
Okay.
And I went to the basketball tournament in Philly. You never would have guessed that, would you?
What was that, the three ball or whatever?
No, that's where all these former players for all these different teams. There was a Nova team, there was a Syracuse team, there was an Iona team, there's some really funky teams. It was fun.
How did this who was on the Syracuse team?
I went to the first Boeheim's Army game. You really want me to run through this?
Yeah, let me hear the roster.
Your audience really doesn't care, but if you want me to run through it, I will do that.
They'll give us 30 seconds for you to give us that list.
All right, Brandon Trish was on that team.
Nice.
John Gillen, that was a starting backcourt. Trevor Cooney came off the bench.
Okay.
They were a little light on the bench that day because James Sutherland was playing in the Southern League. And Dante Green was at a wedding. All right, Rick Jackson was in the middle.
Okay.
C.J. Fair played.
On the wing.
He played a wing. And who am I missing here? You get the idea.
Nobody currently in the league?
What's that?
Nobody that's currently in the league?
The Shante Riley who came off the bench. I think that's about everybody. Wait, there's had to be one other big guy, right?
Yeah, I would think. Anawaku?
No, he didn't.
Wasn't Fab Mello.
He did not play. Bai Musakata was injured, couldn't play. Yeah, I'm missing somebody.
Yeah.
It was great fun. You'd have enjoyed it.
Text it to me, would you?
I will.
Did they win the tournament?
They advanced to the regional. They're playing Thursday night.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, you'd have enjoyed the game where they blew the 21-point lead in the last 8 minutes, but then won in double overtime.
I would have enjoyed that. That's classic Syracuse right there. Is what that is.
We've seen it before.
Yes, yeah. We have. Jason, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, pal. Thanks.
All right, Jason Stark, our Major League Baseball insider, brought to you by James B. Nutter.